from A Whip for a Good Horse by Tori Engie. Contemplating these four transcendences, impermanence, suffering, emptiness, selflessness, and seeking the way of enlightenment is called the Four Seals of the Dharma. This is the essential gateway. When you understand the mind darkened by ignorance and see its real nature, then ignorance becomes identical to the enlightened nature. Then the 12 lengths of dependent origination all accord with the right way and eventually arrive at the great realization of liberation. I want to emphasize a sentence here. When you understand the mind darkened by ignorance and see its real nature, then ignorance becomes identical to the enlightened nature. So for a number of years, I've had students who have recommended that I watch this animated series called Midnight Gospel. And, oh, it is bizarre. And I highly recommend it. I suspect most of my students were smoking some ganja as they were appreciating this masterwork. But in all sincerity, it really is quite remarkable. The animation is just colorful, two-dimensional, murderous scenes of creatures disemboweling each other and whatnot. But there's always, what it actually is a podcast, basically. And the comedian, he's not just a comedian, but the person who's sort of narrating is interviewing guests who come, and there are 8 interviews, and they took these interviews, which are genuine, and basically animated them and created these really interesting simulated realities that these folks travel through as they talk. So many of them are actually about meditation and, you know, he interviews, his name's Duncan something. He interviews a number of meditation teachers and folks of some renown. But my favorite episode is not one where he's actually interviewing a very famous person, but he's interviewing his mother. And it's the last episode. And the fact is that his mother, his mother is dying. She had stage 4 cancer, and he asked her if he could interview her for his podcast, and she agreed. And their conversation is just beautiful. It's just so, so remarkable. I won't go through the whole thing, although I feel like it is its own Dharma teaching, really worth the time. But facing his mother's death for this interviewer, this podcaster, is a very powerful lesson, and she's able to remain very present with him in this interview and to meet him in his emotional breaking down, his witnessing of her imminent death. And they talk very openly about it. And this ability for them to be there together in this grief, for me is just such a powerful healing moment for them both, but certainly for him. His ability to be with her and love her so, so openly and devotedly. But what's interesting is that the pathway to this love is directly through his grief. You know, they talk about how in every person's life, eventually a tornado comes of some kind. And, you know, metaphorically tears down your home. And you're left changed by that forever. And in the moment, it may not always appear pleasant, but that these are the moments of reckoning and transformation that are available to us all. And undoubtedly, we've all faced these in our lives at different times. Losing people who we adore, or I don't need to list them all because the five remembrances do it for us. And so does this reading. And again, these transcendences, impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and selflessness are the essential gateway. Now, I think we might prefer if the gateway were bonbons and fun, happy roller coaster rides and movies and cotton candy. And of course, those are also Dharma gates. But it does seem that, you know, Buddhism is about suffering. It's about acknowledging what we think of as suffering in our lives. And practicing with that in a very conscious way, which is quite different from maybe our ways of dealing with pain or suffering that we have practiced over the course of our lives. So we may find at some point in our lives that we've tried everything else and nothing else really worked. So we come here hopeful and perhaps a little bit defeated, having realized that I work so hard at keeping my awesome body and it falls apart on me. Or I work so hard at protecting everybody in the world that I love from harm, and still harm comes to them or harm comes to me, and I just can't fix everything anymore. And that sense of activity wears us out. There's a beautiful, powerful quote by Chogyam Trungpa when he says, "It's hopeless. It's truly hopeless." And this same podcast narrator talks about Trungpa saying that and talks about how he really meant it. This, of course, is a teacher of some renown, not without his flaws, but with enormous insight, quite a brilliant teacher. And it does seem that the Dharma gate for us is this willingness, this courageous willingness to turn toward that which we may have spent years of our lives running away from. Life as it actually is, which includes pain and loss. And perhaps we've realized that setting the graveyard behind rows and rows of evergreen trees doesn't mean that people don't die. Hiding them from view does not mean that we do not lose the people we love. We do. Watching just beautiful young people on TV doesn't mean that we don't get older. We do. We can't escape into these fantasies. any longer at some point. And this is the beginning of the path. I want to say almost a path of giving up, a path of realizing, you know, it's hopeless. It's just hopeless. I just can't do it anymore. I just can't fix everything. I can't even fix myself. And we're like, well, how then can I exist? And it's like swallowing that hot iron ball, that hot coal, right? It just sits in your gut, and there's nothing to be done with it. And it may form as a kind of burning anxiety or a grief that sneaks up on us in quiet moments. We feel it in so many different ways, this kind of underlying existential dread, really, that we often just avoid by scrolling on our phones and turning on mindless TV or indulging in massive amounts of beer or whatever it may be. We each have our different ways of escape. But when every time we escape, we find that it's there waiting for us. We shut off the phone and plug it in and lie down in the bed in the dark, and there's our demon. What a powerful thing this practice is, the courage to decide, I'm going to stop running away. I'm going to just face it. I'm just going to face the thing that frightens me. I'm just going to be with it. I'm not going to escape into chatter. I'm not going to escape into false promises. I'm just going to sit here and be with it, be with whatever it is, whatever this trouble is. And so we call that suffering. In this podcast, he sits down with his mother. And he says, it's so hard. And she says, yes, it is. And he says, well, then what do you do? And she says, you cry. Now, how's that for a beautiful Dharma teaching, huh? How about you just be what you are? If you're scared, just be scared. We have a kind of protective set of mechanisms at work. We, you know, Trungpa calls it armor that we put on. I sometimes think of it as like the hamster wheel of escape, the many things that we do to try to avoid feeling what we just feel. And as I say, they don't really work. The pain, the trauma, it all just gets stored up in the cells of our bodies, one wound after another. And when we sit on the cushion at first, even for long periods of time, we begin to really metabolize these wounds. The cells of our bodies, they begin to unfold and release what we may have been holding on for years. In fact, what we have probably inherited after many, 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 many generations, woven into the cells of our body. And it all begins to emerge and unfold. And we think, you know, why did I start this practice? I feel worse. That's often true. We often can feel a little worse at first. Maybe even for a while. But with practice, with just ongoing courage, And I'm not saying that we're always able to be steadfast. We're not. Sometimes we just, you know, we lose our faith. And maybe we do something else for a while. We just get away from it. But once we've really begun to taste this practice in a deep way, we may realize that nothing else is as deeply healing. Because when we allow ourselves to be exactly what we are, our tears just fall. And every tear is healing. Every tear is healing our own past wounds, is healing the world. Generations worth of wounds healed in each cry. And what they talk about in the end of this podcast is the way that this grief is, of course, just another face of love. In the Buddhist tradition, we tend not to use that word. We tend to use the word compassion. Just compassion. A great kind of beauty in it. We have to experience that for ourselves. We have to see that for ourselves. Our great fear of death, even. We may have a fear of death. Because, why? Because we love life. It's so simple. We don't want to lose everything and everybody we love. Why would we try to pretend that we do? I'm cool with losing you. It hurts. That's part of love. That's part of the beauty of love. And if we avoid that particular face of love, grief, then maybe the fear that we have about losing people, losing things, situations, losing places in life that we love, if we avoid feeling these things, then we avoid the love too, because they are one. And we can end up living a kind of plasticky, brittle existence. Our heart not really touched by the intimacy of life. And I think we come to the cushion because we want that back. We want to feel alive again. So no, it isn't always easy. It hurts to have the heart break open. But it's worth it. Because in that breaking open, we find our deep appreciation for life, for the people in our lives. You may find yourself randomly dancing in the kitchen sunlight, touched by the beauty of life. Maybe with tears in your eyes. So this Dharma gate of suffering. Often felt because of impermanence. Reveals to us selflessness. Because we find that everything we encounter, even these deepest, deepest fears, are shape-shifting and they have no fixed quality or essence. And I've said this before, but that's of no help to you. That teaching is of no help to you when you face it. As we face our grief, fear, pain, whatever it may be, it's of no help to think, well, this is impermanent. We just have to be it We have to be it, not separate. And in that being it, it unfolds. And we find there's actually nothing there either to hold on to. And this is a Dharma gate to boundlessness, to the wide open heart that doesn't separate and protect and isolate itself off out of fear of pain. This is the essential gateway. When you understand the mind darkened by ignorance and see its real nature, then ignorance becomes identical to the enlightened nature. So what's so important here is to see the way this, of course we, yes, of course we can do things to alleviate suffering where possible. But that's really not what our sitting on the cushion is all about. Our zazen is about meeting ourselves exactly as we are. Giving ourselves permission to be exactly as we are. We imagine this mind of ignorance, this mind of fill in, put in whatever adjective or noun, whatever you want there, right? This mind of stupidity, this mind of shame, this mind of grief. This can't be it. This can't be the path. I know enlightenment is something other than what I am. It can't be my selfishness. It can't be my anger. It certainly can't be my fear. We just believe that narrative so deeply and believe that we're supposed to be something other than what we are. It can't be my trauma. And so we continue down that path of trying to escape what we are, which is utterly futile. Repressing things, avoiding, etc., etc. But what a thing here, to sit here together. What a courageous thing we are doing. To decide to allow our hearts to just be as they are. To stop running away. To let ourselves love and be heartbroken. And to feel it all. To let our hearts be touched by the world. To let ourselves be intimate with the world. With this moment. And to do this with the support of each other. To know that everybody here is in it with us. That we're not alone in this journey, this practice of meeting ourselves and each other in this profoundly intimate way, this so vulnerable path. And then we see that our grief is our love. That the thing that we've been judging as this can't be it is precisely it. Is precisely emptiness, is precisely selfless, boundless. Then the 12 links of dependent origination all accord with the right way and eventually arrive at the great realization of liberation. Not liberation as anything other than what we are, liberated into what we are. Thank you.